I want to begin this morning with describing to you the type of person that my Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, Nosson Tzvifinkel, raise your hand, Zatzal, who he was and what he was. Raise your hand if you ever heard of Nosson Tzvifinkel. Okay, so most people in the room. So he was Rosh Yeshiva Zmir for about 20 years. And those of you that are from Chicago actually went to the same school as some of the guys in this room, went to the academy, otherwise known as the Ida Crown Academy. And when he came to Eretz Yisrael, yes, he didn't really have a head start in terms of where his background was, but he happened to have been a great nephew of the Rosh Yeshiva at the time. So, but his story of perseverance and achievement is unparalleled in our generation. I'm just going to read to you an anecdote from a story that happened at the Shiva house after he passed away, I think it's either 6 or 7 years ago, this coming November time. And that will be a backdrop for something that I saw in his Sefer, where he asks a question and he gives an answer that I think will shed light on our lives. At the Shiva for Rav Nosson Tzvi Zatzal, a man who arrived in a wheelchair said that he has had Parkinson's for several years. And although he was a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, he had not opened the Gemara from the time he was afflicted, and he often didn't even make it to Shul, to Daven. That statement alone would have been an eye-opener to those at the Shiva. After all, Rav Nosson Tzvi had not only prayed regularly in the yeshiva, which I can attest to, and learned for many, many hours each day while suffering for 28 years from Parkinson's, but he had also built the biggest Torah empire in the world during that time. Totally true. We took it over. It was like 1,000 guys, and when he passed away, it was between 6,000 and 7,000. Taking massive financial responsibility for the yeshiva's growth on his weary shoulders, while finding the time and patience to impart warmth and love to every one of his students, which is totally true. I was just a random kid from New Jersey, from Frisch, and I came, and you felt like, when you were with him, you felt like $1 million. Yes, and for Chavrusa, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, he had a Chavrusa. I would go there every week with a group of people, it would be a communal Chavrusa, but I can honestly tell you that one time nobody else showed up, and it was just me. He was lying on his couch, and I read to him a Rishon, I don't even remember what I read to him, but obviously I was shaking, but he was mamish lying down, that's how not well he was. And I read to him for between 5 and 10 minutes. Fun. To hear that Parkinson's victim, who had the disease for a few years, couldn't go to shul, open a Gemara, suddenly cast from Nosson Tzvi in a greater light than anyone had fathomed. But the visitor in the wheelchair topped his initial revelation when he informed the family that he shared the same doctor as Nosson Tzvi, and the doctor had told him that the severity of his case was approximately 1/10 of Nosson Tzvi's case of Parkinson's, which is mind-boggling. I can honestly attest. Countless times he gave a shmooze in his house on Erev Shabbos. Okay? It's a parsha shmooze, which lasted for a half hour. There could be, I don't want to say a minute, maybe that's exaggerating, but I think there were times when he poshed for a minute, there was a pause, and he couldn't get the next words out. But it didn't stop him. He tried, and then he spoke a little bit more, and then he stopped. I mean, he would give shiur to hundreds of people, and he would stop for a few minutes. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's what I remember, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Mom is getting up in front of everybody. There's no microphone, you have to crowd around. And just to hear them say the words, the Kabbalos O Malchus Shamayim, just the Shamayim Yisrael, was unbelievable. Fine. The story of his leadership of the Mir goes far beyond his triumph over his dreadful disease. He would have been remembered for generations as one of the great Torah giants and Torah builders of modern times, even if he had been healthy. That he achieved what he did despite his debilitating illness is a remarkable lesson and an inspiration for everyone. And the stories of how he transcended his physical limitations are an indelible part of his legacy. This is a person who did, first of all, what he did for himself in his learning and his personal growth, and how he inspired everybody around him is just beyond comprehension. And he was a human being. I saw him all the time on a daily basis, mamish, when I was in yeshiva. Now he asks the following questions, brought down the sequence of Nosson Tzvi. He asks the following question: we are now in the 10-day period of coronating Hashem as king. Coronating him as king, and the question is, we add four things to the Shemona Esrei, besides Melech HaKadosh and Melech HaMishpat, we add four things. Zachrenu L'chaim, Micho Amoch Avrachim, Uchsov L'chaim Tovim, and V'sever L'chaim Baruch HaShem, Baruch Tovim, Yizav L'Nikos, V'nech HaNachdu L'chaim, V'sher L'chaim Tovim L'Sholom. The Rav Nosson Tzvi asks, I don't understand. It's like going to the inauguration parade for the king, a 10-day parade, and you walk up to the king, by the way, king, you know, can I have some life, can I have some stalker, take care of me too? It seems to be inappropriate. Why in the world would it be appropriate to us during this 10-day celebration of Hashem's kingship and monarchy and rulership to say, God, do me a favor, you know, throw me a bone, send me some life, and send me a good life. So to answer the first two things we ask for, what ask for life? What do we need to ask for life? So in Gemara, it took the last year, Hashem says, Hashem says to Mashiach ben David, what do you want? Ask me and I'll give you something. And when he sees Mashiach ben Yosef has been killed, he says, give me life. So what do? We say to Hashem, give me life. That's also a tremendous ask. We need life. We know, unfortunately, we live in a time where things are challenging. Ikvus is the Mashiach, asking for life. So how do we ask for life? We only ask for life for one reason. And the first time we say, Zachmen el-chaim, el-chavetz b'chaim, chasidus b'chaim, why? L'mancha el-chim chaim. We're not asking for life sam. We're not asking to live because we want to live, we want to have a party. No. We're asking for one reason. L'mancha el-chim chaim. It should be for your sake. The only reason why we want life is to show you honor and for your sake, Hashem. And then we're not asking life. Not asking Hashem, give us a few more days, give us a few more years, give us until 120. Stam, to enjoy life, to amass wealth, to indulge. No, we're asking for one reason. Laman chalukim chaim. That's actually the first. Already in the first bracha, we're getting it out of the way. We're telling Hashem, we're not asking for things stam. We're asking Hashem why lamancha. And then says in Nosan Si, based on Rav Isaac's share, then it's not inappropriate. We're saying to Hashem, we want to be a king. We want to be part of your kingdom, but we can't do it without life. So then asking for life is now part and parcel of the coronation of Hashem. If you're asking for life because you want to be a dedicated member of his kingdom, so then it's not inappropriate. It's actually quite appropriate. You can come to life and say, God, I'm suffering. I'm having an issue. I'm not well. But I want to continue to be an upstanding member of your kingdom. So please give me more life. But what about the next two that we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? Uksov l'chaim tovin. Now, I'm not asking for life anymore. I'm asking for a good life. Right? Zochrein, right? Sefer Chaim, bracha, v'shalom, we should have bracha and peace. V'shalom, parnasa tovu, we should have a lot of money. You know, we should have parnasa tovu, good parnasa. Rabbi Shalom, parnasa, zochrein, because save all of us, we should be remembered and written. V'necha nachnu, v'chol akhbe, v'shalom, chaim tovu, v'shalom, good life. Is it appropriate to ask for good life? Says of Isaac Sher, he quotes the Pirkei Avot Asher. We know that one of the big cards, one of the big wild cards we pull out during these times is Akedah Yitzchak. Hashem, listen. Just like Avraham Avinu quenched his, you know, compassion, and he was willing to fulfill your word and sacrifice Yitzchak, so too, Hashem, you should have mercy on us as well. And one of the reasons why we use the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, because we want to use the Akedah Yitzchak. Says the Pirkei Avot Asher, an amazing thing. Yitzchak had clarity. You know what Yitzchak's clarity was? I want to do the will of God. But I'm afraid that as I'm being slaughtered, I'm not going to be able to handle fulfilling the word of Hashem. So he says to his father, Avram. Hey, actually, he probably didn't call him Avram. He probably called him Tati. Abba. Probably Abba. Avi. He actually said Avi. I think he says Avi in the Pasuk. Tie my hands and tie my feet together. Why? Because Chas v'Shalom, I don't want, as the pain or as the uncomfortability starts, I don't want to either Chas v'Shalom kick you or say anything bad. I want to make sure it's pure. So says of Isaac Sher, that's what we're asking for Chaim Tov. No, we're asking for good life. No, we're asking for Parnasa Tova. Because we're concerned that as you're serving Hashem, if it becomes too difficult to serve Hashem, it means, who needs it? It's too difficult. So as we live in this world and serve you, Hashem, make it comfortable for us. Give us all the resources that enable us to properly serve you, Hashem, which makes a lot of sense. Obviously, there are madrigas here. But we're not asking for chaim tov. We're not asking for parnasa tov because we want to go on a vacation and have a sports car that drives faster than everybody else. So we're asking for parnasa tov. We're asking for Parnasa Tova because we want this world and our service to be proper, which makes a lot of sense, just to give you a proper mashal, right? If a person, right, wants to serve the king and he lives a few miles away from the king, right, he doesn't have a car to get there and he has to walk every day, it's going to be very tedious. It's going to be very challenging. So he's thinking, Hashem, I need Parnasa Tova. Why? Not stam for my comfortability. No, I need that as a vehicle, no pun intended, as a vehicle to help serve you. And that's what we're doing in this world. And that's what we're asking for the whole these 10 days when Hashem is so close to us. We're saying, Hashem, we want to serve you. But unless we're alive, we can't serve you. And unless we have the resources that enable us to serve you, we can't serve you. So now, getting back to the original question from Nassim Tzvi, How could it be that during this time of king of coronating Hashem as king, he's busy asking for all these things? You know why? Because it's one and the same. The only way we can properly incarnate Hashem and take be mekabel on ourselves all malchus shemayim is by saying Hashem, we need chayim, we need chayim tovim, we need parasa tova dafka to serve you. But again, in life, things get distracting, and oftentimes we lose sight of what we're here for. I was just thinking about, let's say, a mushel, right? If somebody, you know, if somebody was working for the king's army, right? The king's army has many different jobs. And the guy, you know, one guy is working in the kitchen, he's flipping burgers. Over time, you can ask him, you know, what are you doing here? He's like, what's your job? What's your point? How do you serve the king? I flip burgers. That's my job. Meaning my whole focus in life is to flip burgers. I flip burgers, and the burgers go to the, you know, the clinic. You know, the clinic who cleans the guns. You may lose sight. You should ask, what's your job? That is flipping burgers. His answer should be, I'm serving the king. Obviously, indirectly, but ultimately, everybody's needed. That's why a person needs to understand what he's doing here. Whatever we're doing in life, even whether you're working, whether you're going to college, everything should, step by step, lead back to, I'm serving Hashem. No matter where you are in life, that should be a focus. What are you? You're an Eved Hashem. You're in college? Yeah, because you need to make a parnasa. And you need to do a shadlis, and you need to, you know, buy an esther, you need to buy a sukkah, you need to buy a house to live, and you need to give tzedakah, you need to send your kids to the yeshiva. Everything stems back to, I'm here to what? To serve Hashem. That's the ultimate purpose. Of course, and things get distracting, and people get confused. They think, oh, I'm not here for the king. My whole point is to flip burgers. Now, another thing continued, and he said that the only way a person could continue to have that outlook is if he follows the words. We're going to say Aleinu again, not in the private Shemot Esrei, but the last time on Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, in the Chasid Shemot Esrei, we're going to say Aleinu again. And there's a very important pasuk. Vayadata hayom. You should know it today, every day. And unfortunately, today, it should be as clear as day. The reason why we use hayom, it should be clear as day. Vayadata hayom ha'ashay bo'usa elu v'amecha. Should return it to your hearts. Ki Hashem hu lokim. Hashem hu lokim. Hashem hu lokim. Vashemayim v'amal al-aretz v'tachas. And the Shemayim al-aretz ain't old. There's nothing else but Hashem. Everything in this world ain't old levato. There's nothing else. So the only way a person could properly feel, why do I want life? To serve you. Why do I need good life? To serve you. The only way a person can really feel that is if he internalizes the idea, there's nothing else, there's no other entity, there's no other power in this world besides Hashem. And that's what we say every day, actually not every day, three times a day. You shall know today, it's not enough to know, it has to be, it has to be inside your heart. Period. Now, a person internalizes that on a daily basis, so then he can honestly say that his life is the mantra. His life is the mantra. Everything you do in life is the mantra for the sake of Hashem. The truth is, I wrote a note here that's also very important. And one of the ways a person feels that he's doing it for Hashem is he recognizes during these times of being judged. And there's supposed to be a certain level of harada, a certain level of trepidation. But not at the expense of simcha. We know the halacha tells us there's only one time of year, actually one month a year, we're supposed to minimize our happiness. And that is going to Chodesh Av. It says, Mim'atim b'simcha. Which means that every other time of the year, we have an obligation to be b'simcha. Even now, the lashon of tshuva, tshuva comes from the lashon of kirva. To return, who returns to? Returns to Hashem. This closest to Hashem. We have to have the element of fear and the element of happiness that Hashem wants us. He's Avinu Avraham, which we say every day in the Avraham. He's the Father, the Father of mercies. He's Avraham. And all He wants to do is have a relationship with us. And when we realize that, then we say, oh, we want to serve you. And getting back to Nelson Tzvi's life, we understand he said this over. He said the shmooze. But he didn't just say the shmooze. He lived the shmooze. When you hear about somebody had a debilitating illness, he could have easily said, you know what, like this other gentleman, who was apparently a Talmud Chacham, who apparently went to shul, he said, you know what, I have a debilitating illness, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch movies for the rest of my life. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read books, novels. I'm going to relax. You know why? Because, as they say in Hebrew, magile, This is what was meant for me. If my lot was to be this sick, now you cannot imagine. I'm just trying to explain to you. I don't think you guys can properly imagine. I know you hear stories, Parkinson's, yeah, you say, good. I saw it. I'm saying you could see the man. Most of the time, one of his sons would have to drag him literally like this to do his measures to the shtender. He had two shtenders on both sides, holding, rocking back and forth. I mean, if you want. Okay, you guys should minimize their YouTube exposure, I think. Maybe make sure to have the sensor, being security on. Find a video from giving a shmooze, it'll blow your mind. So, not only did he say this shmooze, about his whole life was dedicated to the service of Hashem, he lived it in the biggest way. He could have easily, I'm telling you, on Erev Shabbos, he gave a shmooze in his house before Mincha in Hebrew, and then after Mincha in English. And oftentimes, it was a half hour, but oftentimes he only really spoke for I can honestly say this, like 10 minutes. Because there were pauses, but he couldn't get the words out. Why did he have to do that? Because he was being paid through a shiva? For sure not. He could have been fine. He didn't need it. He could have, I'm sure, his hand, for one thing, for Kavod Shemayim. Because his whole life was l'man tel kum chayim. Why are we here? What are we here for? And the Mishnah Novos tells us, if a person learns Torah l'shma, which maybe I'll get to, right? Ashrecha b'al hazad, ashrecha b'al haba. Oftentimes we think, you know what? What does it mean to be an Avin Hashem? You know what it means to be an Avin Hashem? To suffer through this world, only do mitzvos, and then in the next world, we're going to have, everything's going to be good. No. The mission of us tells us, and the reality is, as we spoke with Shana Bet Hervish last night, Ta'amu Uru, I beg you, you have this golden opportunity. Feel what it means to be an Avin Hashem. I understand in America, it's a beautiful place, but in high school, it's distracting. All of you in this room now have the opportunity, some of you for a full year, a few months, whatever it is, you have the opportunity to taste it. Taste the Bodhis Hashem. Taste what it means to live a Lamanta Elohim Chayim life. That, why am I getting up in the morning? To serve you, Hashem. I'm coming to Davin because I want to have a relationship with you, Hashem. You created this world. You are in charge of your Mashkiach. When we say Elokeinu, try to have this in mind. When we say Elokeinu, certainly over in Sez Mitzvah, He's Baal HaKobos Gedolos. He is the Almighty. He's the power of everything. Who Mashkiach Al Kol Olam Kulo. He supervises everything. Some of you said the Amin Amin. Who also owes the Yassel Kol Marsin. Right? Who Manei Kol Abruim. He's involved in everything. This is all it is. We're His. The whole world is His. And we have a relationship with Him. And what do we want life for? Laman Kelechim Chaim. To serve Him. What a tremendous model of what it means to live life. Mamash for Hashem. He could have easily said, you know what? Who needs this? And trust me, he didn't do it because of the cover of the Chalal. He mamash lived to promote Torah. And that was it. Let me tell you one more story about Rav Elchanan Wasserman. And maybe since we already spoke about Torah Lishma, maybe I'll speak about Rav Nosi a little bit more about something that somebody mentioned in an article I found this morning. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yim Kom Domo, who was murdered in the Holocaust, left Baranovich to America to go raise very much needed funds for his yeshiva. And he went to visit an old friend that he grew up with. And this old friend left for America many years before, and he became very successful. He had a clothing business in Manhattan. And he went to visit this man, and he had a multiple floor factory, and he went to his office on the top floor. He said, oh, Shalom Aleichem, how are you doing? He said, Sanu, what did you come here for? That I came to have a button sewn on my jacket. And his old friend says, you came all the way from Baranovich to America to have a button sewn? He said, yeah. He said, no, really, come on. What'd you come here for? He said, yeah, really. He said, okay, fine. So he took him down to the factory floor and he said, hey, Pete, can you sew a button for this rabbi? And he says, yeah, sure, no problem. And within a few minutes, he sewed him a button. And he said, now you see, look at my factory over here. What are you asking for? He's assuming that he needs money for the yeshiva. He said, no, I came for the button. He said, okay, button. And that was it. The next morning, where Rav Elchanan Wasserman was staying, the phone rang. And the man said, Rabbi, my older friend, Rabbi, come on. You came all the way from Baranovich, to America by boat, I don't know how many weeks it took, just to fix the button. He said, okay, fine, come visit me and I'll explain it to you. So the man came in and he said, listen, the same way that you can't believe me that I came all the way from Baranovich to America to fix a button, Do you know what kind of neshama, you know what kind of soul you have? Your soul is yun from the Kisei HaKavod. We are all part of Hashem. We have a special neshama that comes from the Kisei HaKavod Mamish. And when He sends us down in this world, do you think we came to have a clothing factory? Do you think that's the purpose of our life? Just like you're dumbfounded, it can't be. It can't be that you came down to this world, couldn't have come from Ramesh, America, for a button. Your soul was not brought down to this world to own a clothing factory. And the words pierced this person's heart. And of course, obviously, the reason why the story is said over is because this person, of course, was closer to Tshuva. He started to keep all the mitzvahs. And that's the end. That's that story. And when you think about it, that's what we're here for. And certainly the year in Eretz Yisrael, life is busy and distracting. The year in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael is time to Eskapel ourselves. What are we here for? We say these words for 10 days, 3 times a day. Zachrein l'chaim, remember us for life. Melech Chavetz l'chaim, the king who desires life. L'man t'alot l'chaim, for you. What are we here for? For one thing. And l'man t'alot l'chaim, the life should be for you. That's what we say, Lamanta. We're not here to sew buttons. We're here to amass mitzvot. And I have a very, very important message to tell you. I don't think it's a secret. It's obvious. Because the Mishnah always tells us. We go through life. I think in certain communities, we think that in order to have real life, right? The media convinces us that real life is everything external and everything not spiritual. That's real life, right? If a person has a huge clothing business and he can have Pete sew a button in 5 seconds, that's success. That's achievement. But you know what? Do your research. Is that also internally and externally? Is that when the person feels fulfilled? The truth is, Rav Apfel had a great year at the end of last year, and he spoke about somebody who'll be as a psychiatrist rounds. There's a guy who was essentially successful in life, but he was depressed later on in life, in his 80s and 90s. And one school of thought said, it must be biological, because he lived a great life. And Ray Apfel said, no, what are you talking about? The guy, he lived an empty life. Even though he was successful in his physical pursuits, there's something inside of him. Rabosai, we're here, we are a chelek elokam imal. We are taken from the Kisei HaKavod. When you go ahead and you, and I'm sure everybody already eats on olive guys. I'm sure there are times in Rosh Hashanah davening and you go, wow, this is awesome. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen even more so on Yom Kippur. The Ne'ilah, that's who you really are. Tshuva means to return. To return to who you really are. All of a sudden, after the other day, who needs to eat? You're like an angel. You feel like an angel. You're holding by Ne'ilah, the highest point of the year. Who's the real you? The guy that's involved in other things that are very distracting, or the person in Ne'ilah? And I hate to tell you this, this truth hurts sometimes. And the reality is that the real you is who you are in the Ne'ilah. That's the real you. But the Yetzer Hara, Hashem said, listen, Vakasha. Right? I always say one of my favorite mashalim is the following idea. That let's say you have the varsity basketball team, they had 20 game season, they played second graders, and guess what? They beat them by 100 points, 150 points, and they won the championship. It wasn't even a joke. So, is that exciting? Or would people rather play in a varsity, you know, with teams on par, with, what's the word I'm looking for, the English word? Parity? What?
Parallel?
Yeah, parallel, if there's parity in the league, that means there's the teams are equal. And go 500 and not win the championship. I don't think there's anybody in this room who'd rather be on a team that beats second graders and wins the championship, wins by 100, versus a team that goes, 500 and loses in the first round of playoffs. I think it's possible. Why? There's two reasons. You don't get any enjoyment out of that. And you don't get better. You don't feel good. So, of course, I'm just telling you, of course, Hashem tells us, by the way, Gemara Kedushin, he says, Barasi Yetzirahara, Barasi Yetzirahara, I'm telling you, I'm making it challenging. I'm creating the varsity league. I don't want you to live this life in the second grade league. It's worthless. You're not going to enjoy it, and you're not going to get anywhere. I'm going to make it hard. I'm going to make distractions. But I'm giving you all the opportunities. I'm sending you to yeshiva. I'm giving you davening. I'm giving you Torah. I'm giving you so many opportunities. I'm giving you so many opportunities to take the life that I give you and to serve me. And I can guarantee you, not only will you forget about the next world, in this world. You feel like an accomplished person. And now is the time. These 10 days, Hashem is the closest. And the closest doesn't mean, yes, of course, it means we're being judged, and that's spooky, and that's scary, and yes, it's going to decide. But you know what? If you said Hashem, Hashem, you know what? Forget about the past. And Hashem says, and this is an unnatural thing, the greatest gift that Hashem has given us, an unnatural gift. He says there's something called tshuva. Slila, mechila, and kapara. We can wipe the slate clean and say, Hashem, I'm really sorry. You know what? I gave a hitch. I don't even know how much longer we have. Anybody know? I gave a Sparty guy a hitch a few weeks ago. And I always found it interesting. Have you ever been to a Sparty slichos? He's saying, Tchatanu lefanecha, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I assume they said, what? It sounds way too joyous. It's like saying, I sing to you, God. It sounds very strange. So I asked him, I understand. How do you sing it? It's like, we sing, Hashamu, Bagatu, Bazalu, right? That's what we say. And they're like singing. I'm like, what is going on here? So he explained to me the following idea. He said, that imagine he had a young man whose mom is just like totally crazy. Totally crazy. He stole his parents' car. He had no driver's license. And he cuts every line. And there's like a checkpoint. Finally, cops capture him. And they're like, you know, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I'm totally crazy. I'm totally nuts. Okay, fine. You know, just continue on. That's the shot. Hashem, like, we're crazy. We're not normal. How can we sit? Hashem, you know what? We're not doing the right thing. But you know, we're coming to you and we're saying, Hashem, we're not up to par. But instead of saying, like, you know, I guess he was trying to tell me, now that I'm thinking about the story, how does it tie into the question? The idea, like, we're not embarrassed. We know that we know what we do is not appropriate. And we feel bad about it. But we want to do better. Right? The idea is, why do we sing this same song? Because we're just saying, what can I do? We're crazy. We're nuts. We do crazy things. And Hashem says, okay, you know what? That's the relationship we have. Come back. Come back. And just to go, I don't know how much more time. Have you? Okay. So, let me just tell you more things that I read in Lashon Tzvi. It comes back to Lishma. There's a rabbi who's still in the mirror. His name is Rabbi Stillerman. And 20 years ago, he came to the Lashon Tzvi soon after he became Rosh Hashiva. And from Lashon Tzvi wanted to pour him a cup of Coke. And Rabbi Stillerman said, I'm so sorry, you know, I don't need a cup of Coke. He said, listen, the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Nelson Tzvi said, I'm going to pour you, because you're my guest, but you don't have to drink. So then Rabbi Stillerman asked him a question that he couldn't believe he asked. As Rabbi Nelson Tzvi is trying to pour the cup, and this is totally possible, he couldn't pour the cup of soda. So this young man said, why do you deserve this? And he's like, whoops. How could I ask him such a question? How can you deserve this? So that's the answer. He said, listen. He said, I love learning so much. The boy from Chicago who came to the new yeshiva in jeans at 18 years old said, I love learning so much. I enjoy it so much. And Hashem said, Kilo is an Avera. And I don't want it to be low lishma for you anymore. I don't want it to be low lishma because you enjoy it so much. I'm going to make it hard for you. I'm going to take away the enjoyment of it to make it harder for you to learn. And that was the answer he gave. 20 years later, there's a Rabbi Stillerman family in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim for 40 days to learn Torah with Hashem. And the Talmud in Yerushalmi, and it's in Hori Yos, Perek Gimel Halacha, says why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu keep on forgetting it? So says the Talmud Yerushalmi, "Bishvil lahachzer es atipshin," to give tshuva and to give answers and to give hope to the people who are fools. So what does that mean? Somebody's going to learn and say, "Hey, you know what? I forgot my learning. I learned Baba Kama. I was thinking Shomer Mavet Heber, but you know what? I already forgot it. Machulis Rav Shmuel Shane. All them. I forgot it already. Yeah, what's the point? But you know what, guys? Moshe Rabbeinu also forgot his learning. Not once. Not twice. Moshe Rabbeinu also." Forgot his learning 40 times. And that's going to give us all chizuk. If Moshe Rabbeinu continued to persevere and to learn over and over again, even though he forgot 40 times, us too, when we forget our learning, we can also say, you know what? If Moshe Rabbeinu continued to persevere, even though he forgot his learning, we can also persevere. said this already still into Nasa Tzvi, now I understand. Because look at you. You went through all this difficulty of your health, and yet what did you do? You persevered. You sat in the, and I saw it with my own eyes. He was lying on a couch learning. Mamish. You know what? If he can go ahead and he can learn and accomplish what he accomplished while he wasn't well, how can we not do it? And you don't ask people. It says in the Gemara, Chas Perosho Yasa Vitor, you have a headache? Learn Torah. Now we all think, oh, you have the slightest headache, I'm into the day, I'm done. Where are we going to go with that? And you know what? Aren't we saying Lamantla? We're here to serve Hashem. Don't worry. You know what? If Chas Hashem, you faint, we'll take care of you. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to come to the point of fainting. But push yourself a little bit. We're saying the words. We say, give us life for your sake. And that's how we should live. That's how we should live. Okay, if we have till 55, I'll say one more yisod. Okay, but just to sum up that idea, is that why do we want life? Why do we want life? For one reason. To serve Hashem. And you follow the model of somebody like Nelson Tzvi, whose life was not to indulge for one thing, Kavod Shemayim. And the only way you'll be able to understand and recognize that is that three times a day, when you say the following word, V'edat Hayom, I have to know today with clarity, like today, there's no other force. There's not, think of any other distracting thing. You fill in all the blanks. There's 20 distractions, 30 distractions, 100 distractions in life. There's nothing else but Hashem. And you know what? Tamu uru. Try it. Taste it and you will see. For the next few weeks, next few months, the year, try as best as you can to minimize the distractions and let Hashem talk. Hear the learning, hear Bava Kama, hear the Torah, hear the learning, hear the davening of the yeshiva, and you will see. You'll enjoy it. You will enjoy this world. Let me end with the following idea. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Gimel discusses Averos and Mitzvos. Actually, my 5-year-old son said to me, where is the scale for the Mitzvos and the Averos? Because last year in Gan he made a scale. I'm like, it's in Shemayim. We don't know. We're not privy to that information. If we got to see the scale, it would be relatively easy. Says the halacha. Listen to this halacha in the Rambam. It's talking about a person having more avirus. The mitzvah is v'chein medina shabonosel merubim miyad ki obedes. If a country has more avirus than mitzvahs, right away it's destroyed. As it says in the pasuk, zakas sedom va'amora ki rabbi. Okay. Now the obvious. Now this Rambam is a halachic sefer, so I'll feel halacha. If there's more avirus than mitzvahs, Dunsky's finished. They destroy it. So what, who knows the obvious question that the Lechem Mishnah asks? What? Well, they could have done it. Well, it's true. But it sounds like that Zaka Summer more Kirava, even one more wouldn't have done it. What, at that point they weren't necessarily 50-50.
Why does Gaza still exist?
Why is Gaza still okay? I hear Gaza. Avram Avinu, what about Avram Avinu, who remembers? If there were 50 tzaddikim, he would have saved. In 45, 40, 30, 20, it's happy that big. I thought there's more Averis than Mitzvos, then finish. No one's getting destroyed. Let's see the question inside. Vim Taima, Im Kane came in the stomach of an Osama Rubin, Mishkuya Sel, they have more Averis than Mitzvos, Lama Kodesh Brokai and Moichel Lohem, the Shriatam Vishin Sadiq, and came in the Hadinos and Shenai Vedas. I don't understand. If Allah says that they have more Averis than Mitzvos, Sodom is going to get destroyed, how could Hashem tell Avraham Avinu that yes, if there are 50 tzaddikim, I will save the land? Answers the Lechem Mishnah. They show him the tefillas Avraham Hoya, Moshe, because the tefillah of Avraham, Afa Pisha and Adin Kach. Even though the rules are not like that, Avraham Avinu's tefillah, and we are his great 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 grandkids, could have changed the rules. When it comes to davening, you can change the facts. That's what tefillah is. You become a different person. The rules change. Everything changes during tefillah. What an empowering feeling. You know, it reminds me. You know, some of you say, oh, I don't understand all the words. I don't know exactly everything. The famous story of Levi Yitzchak Radichuk, where somebody came to the back of the shul, and he had no idea anything. And he just said, you know what? I just have to express myself so much. Let me just read the Aleph Beis. That's all he knew. And it was known that that was the most powerful tefillah, Rabosai. We're going into the holiest day of the year. Okay, you're in Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh. You're in Yeshiva, which walls are saturated with Torah, which is the most pleasing thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The Shekhinah, Ein Shekhinah Shereh El Dal Adam Asher Halacha, in a base medrash. This is the time to cry your heart out for yourselves, for your year, for your entire life. Actually, I've heard a number of times that the Rabbi Meishul, who's close to Rav Shtaimer Zatzal, that not only is the din for this year, it is also a din for future years as well. And this is your year. Hopefully, you guys will come back to Shanavet. This is your opportunity of a lifetime. Tefillah, you know what Tefillah can do? Your great 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 grandfather Avraham Avinu was going to use that Tefillah to save a nation that was destined for doom. You can say to Hashem, listen, I don't understand everything I'm saying. Hashem, just help me. I want to be closer to you. I want to feel it. I want to feel you. I want to accomplish in my ruchnias. I want to, again, it's not a contradiction to living life. On the contrary, you will see. You will see and you will see over and over again. I'm sure some of you have felt it in Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure some of you have felt it the first time you really got understood a good pshat in the Gemara and enjoyed your shiurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give all us siyat neshmaya, that we should live lives of l'man chelukim chayim, lives serving Hashem. Who doesn't want to be one of the esteemed members of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom? Do you want to be a schlepper? If you're one of the good guys, then you can run up to Hashem and say, Hashem, I need some tzedakah. Throw me a bone, because it's all in your service. Then you can come to Hashem and say, Hashem, please help me. But if we're not dedicated servants, then how can we have the audacity to ask for anything? Hashem should give us siyat neshmaya that the next few days of Sefer Teshuvah and Yom Kippur should be as uplifting as they can be. And Hashem, just turn to Hashem, help me. Help me daven, help me grow, and bring me the Gula Shlema, Amen, 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 have a Gemara Simchah.